Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Good morning, Chris Vandercook.
Good morning, Beth Ann. A shift in leadership for rapid transit, yeah?
Right. We were watching that yesterday as we were on air and shortly afterward learned what had happened at the executive board meeting yesterday at HART. We're going to talk about that this morning and more to the point, where we go from here. Now, Oahu residents have already been on a long journey with rail, but in recent months, they seem to be reconciled to finishing the beleaguered project, even as confidence in leadership had substantially eroded. With yesterday's resignation by HART CEO Dan Grabauskas, a new leader takes over today, albeit temporarily, to bridge the project until a permanent CEO can be found. That task falls to Honolulu Director of Transportation Services and now former HART board member Mike Formby. He's in our studio this morning with a look forward and a bit of a look back, too. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it. Now, looking at the events of the last 4 or 5 months, the change of HART's board chair, the outrage over the cost overruns and projections, the acrimony over the city audit, was the resignation of Dan Grabauskas truly inevitable?
Well, I think it was a conversation that we all knew where it would end up, and it took time, and I know a lot of people felt like the time that we spent deliberating was excessive. But the reality is Dan Grabauskas as CEO provided a very valuable function during the early stages of the project. You know, we were in litigation. We had to do the archaeological inventory survey. He had to work with the Oahu Burial Council. He had to work with stakeholders and the public. We did a supplemental EIS, and he did that very well. And then we shifted gears. We started construction, and that's when you get into making sure that your RFPs that go out on the street are very tight, that the specifications are tight, that you reduce risk, and that you manage the contracts in a way that reduces change orders. And at that point, I think those of us on the board began to understand that maybe it took a different skill set to move this project forward. So we started having conversations a while back and eventually got to the place where it was a discussion with Dan Grabauskas, and I'm happy to say that we reached an amicable agreement.
When we spoke with Colleen Hanabusa after last week's primary, which makes her election to Congress looking pretty certain, she said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that if she left HART, that she'd want to leave it in good hands. And that seemed to, in many ways, foreshadow the events of this week. When did the board realize that separation from Dan Grabauskas would have to happen? And I ask only because she also said that since her tenure as board chair, that people were much more willing to ask questions, much more willing to take this on head on, as opposed to the way they had done before she became board chair.
Yeah, and I give credit to Chair Hanabusa. I mean, I've worked with her for a long time. When I was on the Land Use Commission, she used to come before me as an attorney representing clients, and she got a reputation as being the most persistent advocate for her clients, and I respected her for that. So I knew that when she got on this board, she would be more than just a personality who was there for a year and then left. She would be a person that would leave a legacy, and that's what she's done, because she changed the relationship between the board and the agency, and that's very important on these mega projects. These mega projects, which involve billions of dollars and last sometimes over 10 years, need to be managed in a way that is different than perhaps a board that oversees a local project that might be worth a couple of $100,000 or a couple of $1 million. It's a different complexity. So Colleen introduced a different environment. She encouraged all board members to ask any questions that they had, to be probing, and to do it in an open, transparent manner. And so that really changed the way that the board looked at the project and the management. And that started the discussion, which I think lasted about 16 or 17 hours, about what do we really need to take this project to the next step. And that was the conversation about whether or not CEO Grabauskas was the right person to do that.
As you were having that conversation, did you also begin to shape a profile of someone who could take this on long term?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, So I'm a person that can self-assess pretty well. I'm an attorney. I do operations and management. I've done some construction. But I know that I'm not the long-term answer to this project moving forward. So What we need is a person that has a history of rail construction mega project experience. And these people are out there. You know, they're retired CEOs. They've done it for 25, 30 years, and they don't want to do it for another 7 years, which is how long this project is going to take. But they're willing to come in on an interim basis and help us during this difficult transition period while we do the search for a permanent rail construction CEO. And that's really the difference. I mean, Dan brought operations and maintenance experience, and he was very good at that. But now we need somebody that understands contract management, change order management, controlling costs, minimizing risk. Those are the skill sets we're looking for going forward.
You mentioned that, you know, those people are out there, mm-hmm. and so are those who are retired to be able to help. But in putting out the next call, the next recruitment phase of finding someone to take this on permanently, how will that be different than the last go-round when you thought you had that pretty much together?
Yeah, so I wasn't around for the first time, but I've talked to
the
people.
But the board, not you.
Yeah, I've talked to the board members that were. And, you know, the difference was when they were going through the first search, nobody knew what we were in for. We've never done a rail project on this island. Now we're knowledgeable about what it takes. We can ask questions and we can receive responses and sometimes discern from the responses that this is not someone who has been down this road before. And so I've already started the conversation with CEOs that are out there asking whether or not they're interested to come and help us. I've also had a conversation with the FTA yesterday and told them that that was my commitment during my time there, was to make sure that we bring in somebody with this kind of experience. And I'll tell you, we're getting positive feedback. There are people out there that are interested. And so Colleen Hanabusa, as chair, formed a permitted interaction group, which we call PIGS. And she formed a PIG, which Colbert Matsumoto is heading up. And Colbert's role will be to work with the board to start talking to these interim CEO prospects.
Interim CEO and then someone who will take it over for the next, you know, 5-7 years at least. That means more changes coming down the pike. But the first change is going to be you. Now, it's obviously tough sometimes to have a timeline in filling a position like this, although you've outlined what you think there might happen. But you said that you're looking to be the acting CEO for about 2.5 months. So what will you do during that relatively short tenure that will signal a clear difference in the way that HART is being managed?
Yeah, so let me tell you the basis for my, you know, projected 2.5 months. I think everybody knows by the end of the year we have to produce a recovery plan to the FTA. And I think if we're going to find an interim CEO with construction experience, we should bring them in sooner rather than later because they need to be a part of that conversation. And when you find an interim CEO who has a history of rail construction experience, they also have a history of working with the FTA. And that's to our benefit. Our benefit, you know, the benefit of that is that they will know how to have that conversation about what this recovery plan should look like. And so I think it's important that I work with the board to find somebody early on and bring them in. My role right now is one to improve morale. So we have a lot, I would say, you know, the people that work at HART, they are skilled. They care about this project. They understand it's transformational. They want to make a difference. But right now, they're a little down. They see the change. They see the questions that are being asked. They see the reaction between the mayor, the city council, the city auditor. And it's of concern to them. So I'm working on improving morale. And I'm working on changing the relationship between the authority and the mayor, the council chair, the city council, the city auditor, the state legislature, and ultimately the taxpayers, because we need to message better. You know, the optics between the agency and the people need to be better. And I'm convinced we can do that, and I'll make a difference within the next 2.5 months.
For a lot of people who are looking at this project, when they hear words like optics and messaging, that already sends up a wall or distances them a little bit. Do we really need to talk about this in different terms to be able to better engage people in this project?
Yeah, we do. And when I say optics and messaging, I mean when the city council asks the CEO a question, you have to be very honest. If you don't know something, you should tell the city council you don't know it. So if the city council asks you a question about, you know, will the $1.2 billion that we're going to authorize you deliver this project to the taxpayers debt-free, If you know that for a fact, you can say yes. If you don't know that for a fact, you should say, you know, I can't promise you that, but I can promise you that we will do everything within our power to manage risk, contain cost, and hopefully deliver the project within that revenue stream. So optics and messaging mean that we have to have a different way of talking to the people and quit maybe holding out things that we don't know to be true, acknowledging the complexity of this project, the complexity of undergrounding utilities on Dillingham Boulevard through Kaka'ako to Ala Moana. I mean, these are extremely complicated tasks that we have to undertake. And I think the history has been that we were a little too optimistic about what was entailed in doing that. And in the future, we're not going to be. We're going to be very honest and acknowledge the challenges ahead.
You brought up the point that perhaps we didn't know enough going into this project, and the learn-by-doing school can be a difficult one, but one that certainly produces lessons that take you off into the future in much better ways. But it's also tough to do, you know, backpedaling to be able to regain that confidence. Now, you mentioned that the HART board and the city have to produce the recovery plan for the revised project, and that's due to the FDA by the end of the year. What does that mean in terms of the time that you will spend there in making morale a little bit better? That's also taking us further toward the end of the year. Are we really going to have enough time to produce it, or does that need to be another honest conversation when we say, well, perhaps it's not going to be done by the end of the year?
Well, I mean, I understand the question, and I'm fairly confident, I'll say that we will have a recovery plan ready for the FTA by the end of the year. Now, whether or not the FTA accepts it, you know, whether or not they say, oh, you know, we adopt it, or whether they say, you know, some things need to be tweaked and changed, I don't know. But I'm confident that we will have a recovery plan to deliver to the FTA by the end of the year. And that conversation starts this month. So on August the 29th and the 30th, we have a Hawaii delegation that is traveling to San Francisco to meet with the FTA. And the acting administrator from Washington, D.C. is flying out to San Francisco, and we're going to have the initial conversation about what's it going to look like and what do you want to see. And this is what we're thinking, but we're not producing a recovery plan in August. We're just basically telling him this is what we think, you know, we're going to do. And that delegation, it includes the mayor, it includes Council Chair Martin, it includes myself and HART engineers and Deputy Director Brennan Morioka, Board Chair Colleen Hanabusa. So it's a high-level policy technical team that's going to San Francisco to start that conversation with the FTA.
And finally, because we need to say goodbye at least for today, when we come to the end of your tenure, for you, what is it that would be a must-do that we can look back and say you already benchmarked?
Yeah, so the must-do for me is to improve the conversation with the mayor, the council, and the people on this island. I mean, I really want, and Colleen Hanabusa started that by the relationship between the board and the agency, but I want to take it to a different level when it comes to the conversation between the agency, the mayor, the council, and it's really through the council and the public hearing process that we speak to the people, but I want to change the way we talk about this project.
And that goes beyond morale. Thank you very much for coming in today. We'll talk again.
Good to be here.
Thanks so much. Mike Formby is the Director of Transportation Services for the City and County of Honolulu, and now will be filling the post of Acting CEO of HART.